antennas, like those antennas, we can point them at.
No way.
Because they're beam antennas. So the antennas are designed to, instead of just radiating omnidirectionally, they're designed to focus the power. Exactly. So people further. The downside is you got to be pointed in the right way to receive. There's a rhyme or reason that all the stations here are networked. The antennas, we can control them from each station here. So, you know, when we're contesting and we're trying to get into Europe, we're trying to point the beam. Oh, where's Ottawa? It's only 90 degrees. And a whole bunch of that electromagnetic energy just radiating out into space. It's actually focused in the direction that you want.
Yeah, I thought they were just static.
Nope, you'll see them moving around all the time. But we do have some static. You look behind you, that's the antenna patch panel centers.
This? Like, this thing connects to the individual antennas.
That's like an old, it's in like an old phone patch system. So all the radio in stations are down here. So these are by position. Like position one, cable one. So this is hooked up to tower three. It's an 80-meter, 40-meter dipole antenna. So radio waves are by length, right? So the work at that frequency. Radio waves would be about 80 meters long, or the 40 meter, and then a dipole is just basically a horizontal wire, you know, type thing. So depending upon what frequency we're working on, we'll pick the antenna that we want. We'll take our little patch cable and plug it in to there, right? And then that way you're getting the best quality antenna. So this is an 80-meter end-fed antenna. So it's still an 80-meter, right? Yep. So here's a 60-meter dipole. The Barker Williams 180-foot antenna. So that's the one that's strung over our building. That's the one we use for our military colonies. The VHF vertical. So very high frequency. These are all high. HF ones, you know, it just goes on down there. Yeah, we're a Canadian Forces affiliated radio station, so we communicate with them all the time. We have a small NATO crib that allows us to interface. Yeah. And you know, we use like, I'm a retired military guy, so. So we send NATO standard formatted messages back and forth. So we're interoperable. Do we do it a lot with the military? Probably two or three times a year. But we work as like a CFARS as an organization. We work together twice a week, Wednesdays. CFARS NATO will be kicking off in 2 hours. Well, we're just cleaning up from the field day, and then Daryl and I are gonna jump on this. CFARS, you got to do, like, you know, you guys probably did. Had to do all that ICS training and all that kind of stuff. You know, because obviously that's how the cops gonna operate. Sort of a, it's not a higher standard of training. It's just a different type of training that you need to work CFARS versus, say, if you want to do HF contesting. And we do sort of vet our CFARS members a little bit. We don't just, you know, give us access to some sensitive information. We don't have any here now. We're all just sending weather reports and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if the balloon went up, we certainly could. These are all the controllers for the antennas. So this is putting it at 90 degrees.
And this will control the direction, eh?
Yeah. We can do it manually here, or you can do it from each computer position type thing. So tower one's 90 degrees, tower two's 90 degrees, tower three's 90 degrees. they're all sort of pointed in the same direction. The unit that's called APRS, so it's set to a particular frequency, and on your handheld, you can transmit by digital packet your GPS location. And this will send it to a web page called APRS.com. Actually, we bring it up on the monitor. We've got on one of the big monitors, and you'll see your position on APRS.com. So if you wanted to do like blue force tracking, if you want to call that, like say we were doing the Terry Fox run and we had a whole bunch of ham operators out there, they would just have their APRS on. And you know, every 10 minutes, it would just automatically blast out their location information coming through here into the internet up onto the web page, and you could just see it. So there's lots of stuff, and this is just all of our, you know, Cisco internet switch box. So we have an arrangement with UBC. They get new Cisco gear every year, and we get their old stuff.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so this is like a $6,000 switch. Yeah, it's a big, big one. So it's because some of our members used to work out there, so they put it. And, you know, UBC has a policy to donate. You know, different organizations that would benefit from it, right? Because it's still, you know, really good gear. Should have come knocked on our door.
Yeah,
because we got there's a Wi-Fi, that white thing, that's a Wi-Fi access point there. We've got like three or four throughout our building here. Yeah, so, and we have more than one internet provider here. Oh, yeah. Get a backup. Telus goes down, Shaw.
Backup for backup.
Yeah, and then we've got that microwave thing I was talking about.
That microwave thing is temporary.
I don't know why we've unplugged our meter or our big screens, but normally I have them up and running. But it will have the BC Warn system up on there. It's on the internet, so we can monitor how the system is running and if there's any links that are down. Because sometimes individual stations go down for whatever reason. We cut the wrong cable. So we can. I don't know if I'm okay to give it out, eh, Daryl? Like, to give out the Wi-Fi password to non-club
members? Oh, there's a guest one.
Is there a guest one?
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.